We're going to talk about the law of the mind. All right. Don't know how far we'll get tonight, but and if I don't finish tonight, well, we'll just finish it up next week. But several years ago, many, many years ago, I did a message called Hear, See, and Do. What you hear is what you see is what you do. All right, so this kind of like came from that message, and I just want to read some verses of Scripture, but there's about five or six verses I want to just get out there, then we'll go back and we'll start. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is." Everything, the key word there is think, all right? Numbers chapter 13, verse 33 says, "And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight." I want you to understand, they thought they were as grasshoppers in their sight. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And these are key things we're talking about here. And then finally, and it says in, well, that's not finally, but it says Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any power or virtue, and if there be any praise, think, meditate." The New King James says meditate, but the King James Version says think on these things. And he goes on to say, "Those things which you have both learned and received, heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So important. And it says, and then Psalm 119, verse 30, it says, 130, it says, "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." And so now if you even thinking about that statement there for a minute, the entrance of your word gives light. You know, in the natural, you'd think that the entrance of God's word would bring sound, right? You know, but it brings light. It helps us. And it doesn't. It brings light. It causes a person to see things. And then Jesus said something real interesting over in Mark chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus says, "If a man has ears to hear, let him hear." So it sounds like some people have ears, but they don't hear. You know, it amazes me as a pastor and getting up on Sunday and ministering on Wednesday nights and just in other churches, you get up here, you pour your heart into your message, and then somebody comes up to you and asks you a question, and you're thinking, "I just answered that. Let him who has ears hear." Okay? Because the rest of the verse, you go down to verse 24, and he said to them, "Take heed what you hear, because the measure you give is the measure that will be given back to you, and you'll be given more." So we have to, and that word "take heed" is the word that it simply means pay attention. Yeah. All right, it's a Greek word that says blepo. You know, pay attention to what you're hearing, and you find out so often people don't pay attention. I often say this all the time: listening's a lost art. Because the minute you get around someone and you start to tell them something, they have just cut you off because they're thinking of how they're going to answer you. Before you even finish saying what you're saying, they're not hearing you anymore. They stopped like one or two sentences in because now they're thinking about what you said so they can answer you back. And if they would have listened to the whole thing, they would have probably got the answer. And that's what happens in church on Sunday mornings a lot. People hear like 10 minutes into the sermon, then they're thinking and they miss the whole rest of the sermon. And really, the answer is in the rest of the sermon. You can say amen or oh me, man. It's the same anyway. You know what I mean? So that's the way it is. So it means to, in that word, take heed means to see, to discern, to pay attention. It all has to do with the power of understanding, to consider something, and how you hear something is determines what you're going to do. All right? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world. The outward fashioning of this world is what it's saying. Actually, it's talking about the cosmos, the world system of doing things. Don't be conformed to the way the world does things. You know, God's got a better way. All right? But be ye transformed by the renewing. And you know, I have written here in the notes, transformed into an image, to change one's form. Really, it's the word transformed here is the word where we get metamorphosis from. It's what a butterfly goes through. They change from a caterpillar into a butterfly. All right? They change form. And we do it by the renewing or the renovation of our mind. And that's what the word renew means, to renovate. How many are in a building business? How many have ever renovated their house? How many have ever took their bathroom out and put a new bathroom in or a new kitchen? It can get pretty ugly. So dusty, dirty, garbage. And well, when you start renewing your mind and you start renovating your mind, there's a lot of junk, a lot of garbage, a lot of things in there that are going to get ripped out. And it's not always pretty going through it. All right? So it's important that you, and it says, so you might prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we used to teach that there's a good will of God, there's an acceptable will of God, and there's a perfect will of God. I used to teach that, always taught it. But then God got on my case about it and said, well, you're giving the people a license not to move on. Because as long as I'm in the good will of God, I'm okay. All right, at least I'm in part of God's will, you know. But no, what that verse is actually saying is God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. It's not three stages of it. All right. So we want to talk about the law of the mind a little bit, because we've been dealing with a lot of people with substance abuse and everything, and I've become a believer in the 12-step program. But there's always a but. And the 12-steppers don't like me when I do that, because I deal with them every day upstairs, you know, because they have this system that they go through. They just can't get it through their head that God wants to renew their mind, make them brand new, think differently, not always thinking back, I have this problem, that they've been delivered from this problem. They just need to get their head in agreement with their heart, what's taking place on the inside of them, and then they're really set free. All right? And I know they're probably watching on Facebook tonight. Anyway, so what is the law of the mind? Basically, it's about behavior being a product of our imagination. All right? The mind produces in us a mental image, and that describes our understanding of reality and the place that we're at in life. It all has to do with imagination. It all has to do with hearing. It all has to do with perception. All right? And it's the building blocks. Mental imagery are building blocks. And this is the way humans think. They think in pictures, not in words. We don't think in words. Hence the term hear, see, do. What you hear is what you see, and what you see is what you're going to do. If I said yellow dog, you would not think of yellowdog. You would think of a yellow dog. Maybe a yellow lab. Maybe a golden retriever, maybe something else. I don't know, but you wouldn't think of yellow dog. You would see your favorite yellow dog if you had one in your mind. And you know, if I said parrot, well, that opens up a whole nother avenue. It could be a macaw parrot, but then it could be a military green macaw parrot. It could be a blue carrot. Macaw parrot. It could be a Hyacinthia purple parrot. There's lots of parrots. See, when I think of macaw parrot, I think of the purple ones because I love them. They're about $15,000, but they're really cool. You know, If I say parrot, you can think of an African gray, a cockatoo. You understand? So we see in pictures, all right? And in any event, and it's the screen of our mind. And all of you saw an image of what I just said. And every one of your images were different. You didn't all see the same image. Praise God. Now, if I got more specific and I said, you know what? A golden retriever. Then you would zero right into golden retriever. If I said African gray, if you knew about parrots, you would automatically think of a gray parrot with a light gray top and a red tail. Because that's an African gray parrot. But then there's different types of African gray parrots. Okay. I think you might be getting it. You see in pictures, right? But that's how our imagination works. You know, you tell a kid there's a white elephant in the backyard. Dude, they ain't thinking white elephant backyard. Let me go see the white elephant in the backyard because they pictured a white elephant in the backyard. It's imagination. And we have the capacity to use these mental images to build the pictures of our life. The picture is created by your imagination. And that's what ultimately produces people's behavior. All right? Imagination is the act of power of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses and never before wholly perceived in reality. That's imagination. I mean, look at some of the movies we've had out there, like Star Wars. That was the product of somebody's imagination. It was conceived in their mind. They saw something in their mind. How many times you imagine something and you think about it, but you just don't have the words to describe it. But yet it's here. And that's how our life works. You know, it's how our life works. And imagination is the root of all behavior that there is in the world. We all have some behaviors which are reactive, spontaneous, you know, based on different outside stimuli, emotional responses to certain things that happen in our life. But all consistent patterned behavior is rooted in your imagination. What you were taught, what happened to you, how you were treated, all this builds into your imagination. And so that Habakkuk, and let me tell you how important it is. That's how come we talk about this, and we're not talking about mind games here. I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm not talking about, you know, whatever some kind of wacky cults out there doing. I'm just talking about if you want to better your life, you need to see yourself in a better place. Megyn Kelly's got a book, and it's exactly what that book is about. Because she was not always the bubbly blonde on Fox News. She had some issues of herself, her self-image, and everything else. But you would never know that today because she learned how to overcome those. She learned how to change the way she thinks, the way she perceives things. Hello? And Christians have to do the same thing. Amen. Otherwise, we just remain a train wreck waiting to happen. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that reads it." And Habakkuk understood the power of imagination. He said, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets. And he was talking about the capacity of the human mind to envision the future. Let's just look at some dictators that have been in the world over the years. Hitler. Hitler had an imagination and convinced people to hook up to his vision. Fidel Castro did the same thing. Mussolini did the same thing. These people had imagination and wrote it down and talked about it, and people started picturing this imagination that they had, and they wanted to be part of it. In this book is pictures of what God's, how God sees you. And we have to take what's in here and renew this that's in here so we can act out of here. And that's what's so important. So, you know, and it's important because the verse continues that he may run who reads it. We have to run. In other words, if the imagination produces an accurate vision of the future, it will produce momentum to get you there. It's energy, it's drive, it's what gets you going. I don't care. You know, and I always tell a story. I like Hershey Park, Pennsylvania. I like chocolate kisses. Amen. And when my kids were small, we would go up to Hershey Park. I could really care about anything else except the chocolate kisses in the history of Milton Hershey, because it intrigued me that this with this guy's imagination. See, he envisioned this town where his workers would have their own city, where they could live. And he built a factory. He envisioned a factory to make milk chocolate. I don't know if you all have read this history of Milton Hershey. Milk chocolate, amazingly. He was going to make milk chocolate and didn't know how to make it. And built a factory to make milk chocolate, which he didn't know how to make. And he worked, and he imagined that he was going to make a chocolate that everybody could afford. Because up to that point, you had to be rich to have chocolate. You had to be the Lynch chocolatier. Okay? Lynch chocolatier, whatever. But anyway, not everybody could enjoy chocolate. And his vision was, I want to make some everybody could enjoy. And he tried and he tried and he tried. And amazingly, the day the factory opened was the day he came up with the formula for milk chocolate. And the rest is history, man. Why was that? Imagination. Energy. Drive. Belief in something that he could do. And Christians should be light years ahead. We have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. We have a divine energy that will thrust us forth. You know, in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Let's turn there and read it. This is, and God understood this. Because God created us, you know. So he understood it. But in starting in verse 1 of chapter 11, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower, whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to the city to see the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, these people are one, and they have all one language. And this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. What are we talking about here? You know, God told them to repopulate the earth, all right? And he said, and the Lord knew. See, God created the human mind to produce. Produce mental energy. But God knew that if he let them continue, what they were going to do, it would have been destruction on the earth. So he confused their language. All right? It's the imagination. Again, have to get back to the imagination. The consistent behavior. But we have a supernatural ability on the inside of us. to achieve an imagined objective that's in line with the Word of God. In line with the Word of God. All right? You know, they weren't some kind of supernatural race of people who were building the Tower of Babel. They were just everyday people like us, all right? Spiritually, they had less than we have. They weren't born again. They were not temples of the Holy Spirit with the fullness of God living on the inside of them. That wasn't them. Yet nothing they imagined to do according to God would be restrained from them. In other words, God couldn't stop them unless he confused their language. Could you imagine sitting next to Joe one day? You're talking. He's mixing mortar. You're laying bricks. And all of a sudden, you don't know what each other's talking about. I would have liked to have been there that day just to see, like, wow. And so why? Because, you know, we have to ask our question, why? Because that's the way God created the mind. It's the law of the mind. Paul brings it out in Romans chapter 7, verse 23. He says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Now we're coming to something here. Why do people do bad things? Because there's the law of there's the law of the mind, and there's the law of the of in my members. The law of the, let's call it the law of the flesh. Okay, warring against the law of your mind, bringing you into captivity to the law of sin, which is in your members. See, we've been born again. We have the life of Christ living on the inside of us, but we have members that want to do bad things. So you need to renew your mind to what the Word of God says, because that's where the law works. If you just let it hang out and you just want to be a party animal, you know, that's all you're ever going to be, because you're going to just follow your members. Your flesh, you'll follow it, and it'll lead you down the road to destruction. And it's what I like try to tell these people with substance abuse. You need to change the way you think. That's why I get upset when they say, hello, my name is Bob, and I'm a drug addict. And you'll always be a drug addict, and you might even die a drug addict. Your name is Bob, and you've been redeemed. Amen. You're a new creature in Christ. And that's the way people need to start thinking, especially if they're saved. Listen, unsaved people could do it, and saved people could do it. Tower of Babel, they weren't saved. But yet they could build this tower into the heavens. So if they could do it, saved people could do it. Oh, I thought that was somebody's cell phone vibrating. Saw outside. And we have to learn to use it properly. And it'll produce for us when we learn how to use the Word, renew our minds, and keep our minds and hearts on God. And there's a verse of Scripture. I'm probably going to get to it later, but I just want to read it now, okay? Because people have problems. I know people have problems. We all have problems. Our mind goes berserk. You know, it is. We see things. You know, why do you think advertising on television is so effective? They just have to get you to imagine it. Imagine going to Sandals. Come on, wouldn't you like just laying in that pool, that infinity pool right outside your room? I want to go. I tell my wife, let's go. Then I say, nah, let me fly down to Florida for $49 to my condo. And I'm happy. But so they do that, and you know, listen, they certainly couldn't film that for commercial if I showed up on a scene, because I'm too fat, my hair's too gray, because, you know, they're all this skinny, their waists, guys are all built, and you're looking at that, you're going, you know, but they see, they know the power of imagination. And so they get you. Nothing wrong with going to sandals. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not, you know. But here's what's something that I like. This verse of scripture. Colossians chapter 3. If you then be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind. What? Your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. You want change in your life, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Because that is the only way you will change. I am sorry, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but that is the only way change comes into your life. You know? So we have to learn how to use it. You know, even if a person's direction is wrong and it's inconsistent with the will of God, the power of an imagination will produce a behavior in them to carry it out. That's why. And I hate to stay on this subject, but it's the only one I could use for now. But you take a person who's addicted to drugs. They imagine what they'll do. They get the energy to lie, steal, and cheat because they imagine how good they're going to feel when they do drugs. So there's an energy that's being produced. Because they're imagining how they're going to feel. Same thing with an alcoholic. They imagine how they're going to feel. So their whole thing, I'll stand on a street corner with a cup, you know, get enough money to buy something. It's driving. I always said this, if criminals would use the same drive they have to do something good, we'd be in good shape. Because there's an energy that happens to us when we start imagining things. Amen? Amen. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing? So here we have the psalmist writes about wrong behavior in something called a vain imagination. So it's, I guess we can conclude that it's appropriate that wrong behavior follows wrong use of the imagination. Got another verse for you, okay? I just don't know why they don't pop in my head when I'm studying at home. I just can never figure that out. Oh, God, help us, sweet Jesus. I'll tell you, I know where I'm reading. I just want to see where I want to start. Well, I think the King James calls it something different. But God starts in verse 18. He says, in Romans chapter 1, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who surpass the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. But for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Or we could say this, their foolish imaginations were darkened. Okay, and change the glory of an incorruptible God into the image God into an image like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions for their woman. And it goes on and talks about the woman leaving the natural use against nature. Likewise, also the men. And he talks, and he comes down here and he talks about how they were unloving, and they, and I think the King James says it the way I want to say it. It talks about their empty imagination, their foolish heart, their empty imaginations. And what happens, people start imagining these things. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They imagine it in their heart. They imagine that it's good. They imagine that this is the way it has to be. They're getting fed it every day, every day. When they're seeing it on the news, it's getting put down their throat. So they start to imagine, well, what's it about? Maybe I want to try it. Blah, 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 blah. And what we have a train wreck in this country because of vile imaginations. Same men are on me. Same truth anyway. So, emptiness. This is what vain means. It means empty, worthless, and to no purpose. And that's what happens if you use the human mind to build imaginations that are not founded on the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is so, it just produces wrong behavior. That's all it does. Now, I'm going to stop there, and I'll pick up next week, because next we're going to talk about meditation. All right? Because if you look at Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night." Well, what's meditate mean? The word meditate in Hebrew is the same word translated imagine in Hebrew. So you really want to change your life? You need to start imagining what the Word of God says about you. Not what the world says about you, not what Kim Kardashian says you have to look like, or the rest of them, her name just popped in my head, I don't know why, or the rest of these goofballs that are floating around the world. Because, you know, I like what, what's his name said? One actor, when he talked about the politics, he was talking about politics. You want to do one at a time because you, no. What's his brother? Mark Wahlberg, what he said about these wackos in Hollywood. The limousine liberals. That's what I call them. They don't know nothing. They don't know what you're going through. They want you to imagine their lifestyle. My friend, you're probably never going to attain that lifestyle. You're going to beat your brains out trying to be like them and never make it. And Mark Wahlberg had it right. I don't know if he's who he voted for or anything, but he says they have no idea. See, he grew up on the street. He went through hard times. He was locked up. He was in jail. All right? So he knows what the guy on the street's going through. These other people, they don't know that. But yet people want to build their life. They look at them and they say, oh, man, I want to be LeBron James. He's a basketball player. What's his name? LeBron James. That's what I said. James Bond? No. God help us. No, but you see these sports athletes and everybody wants to emulate them. Listen, we had an opportunity one time to get an autograph from a baseball player who absolutely refused to give the autograph to my wife. Shake her hand. She wanted to shake his hand, and he said no. I looked at that guy, and I said to myself, you made a big mistake, pal. And seriously, I said, I wanted to say, bro, just shake her hand. And like, she'll go away. And we're in a restaurant in Florida, man, in Aventura, Florida. And you know, big fancy restaurant, and she wasn't letting it go. So we go outside, and she's like, she goes, you know, I'm a fan. She says, you're where you're at because of me. And finally, she went, give me a piece of paper. She goes, I'm going to get his autograph. And she took my sister-in-law with her, who's like Miss Millie Mouse, like real quiet and reserved. And like, she goes, come on, let's go get his autograph. And my sister-in-law, like, she started walking and she stopped. She walks up to him. And she said, listen, I'm a fan. And she went off on him, kind of. And she said, I want your autograph. And she threw the paper down. And he said, okay. Why did I even say that? Oh, yeah, about athletes. But LeBron James, that's what started that one. Okay. But meditation, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, meditate in the word. Imagine. You need to imagine. See, imagination is important because what you see is what you hear. And when you start seeing yourself in here, or what you hear, when you're reading the word of God, you're hearing. Yes. And what you're hearing, you start seeing. And that's what you're going to start doing. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, Bubba. We'll finish this up because I don't know where I'm going to get done with this tonight. I'd like to get done with this tonight, but nah, there's a lot of pages there. A lot of pages. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Let's bow our heads and pray. I don't know if you got anything out of that, but I've been thinking about that for like a month. And it's really, you know, I could have just read Romans chapter 12 and then we could have went home. But verse 1, but that's okay. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I praise you tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, it is your word that changes us. We're to conform into the image of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for that and I praise you for it. Lord, and if there's anyone in this room tonight that's never, ever, ever said, Jesus, here I am, take me, mold me, shape me, just take me the way I am. You know, people always have to say, you know, I hear people say, I'm not good enough to go to God. You'll never be good enough to go to God. Just figure that out right now. You're not good enough for God. God made it possible for you to come to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I received Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Make me your child. That's what all God is asking, because you can never get yourself good enough to approach God. But once you say, God, here I am. Here I am, a wreck, broken. I received Jesus as my Savior. Now you're in a position to go to God. You can go to God anytime you want. You could crawl up on his knees and say, Daddy, I need help. And he's there to help you. And if you want to receive Jesus tonight, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray with you before we get dismissed out of here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. God loves you, man. God loves us more than we could ever imagine. That blows my mind. That, when I think of me and I'm thinking, that was, is he kidding? But he loves me. Yeah. Greatest thing in the world. Just the way we are. So I love that song that they always play at the Billy Graham Crusade, Come As You Are. You don't have to clean up. You can't. You just can't do it. He clean you up. He come all broken and dirty and smelly and he'll clean you up. You don't have to do it. You know, I mean, and there's so many things, and I wanted to get into so much more, but maybe next week. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.